Today on the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast, Jimmy hates on Wentworth Springs. Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how easily taillight lenses break when you hit them on rocks, Jimmy, then this is the podcast for you. I'm your host today, Tyler, and sitting here on the other side of the table from me is the one and only taillight breaker Jimmy Jet. Jimmy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. You were desperately trying to figure out how to get that into a J.
I was trying. It didn't work out.
Thing, yeah. Huh?
I almost said taillight breaker Tyler, and I was like, wait, that's me.
Yeah.
That doesn't work out that way.
No, definitely not.
I've only broken one that I know of.
Yeah, well, after the last few outings, I cracked one and broke one, and we'll talk about those in a little bit.
Oh, goody.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've known about the broken one. I didn't realize you cracked one, too.
Yeah. We'll get there. But okay. I do want to give a fair warning out to all of our listeners that I do have a cold, and I have been coughing a bit. So I will try to move myself away from the mic so we don't have any major spikes, but you might hear some in the background.
It's okay. You're going camping here soon with Wheeling Wine and Whiskey,
yep.
The guys from there. So yep. We'll have you take your microphone cover and throw it in the Peter heater. So
That'll work. I thought you were going to say you should make out with Jason and then get him sick. But I was like, I'm not really going to make out with him.
I wasn't thinking about going that far. But I mean, if you guys get cozy in the rooftop tent, then, you know, what happens at Barrett Lake stays at Barrett Lake? ?
Yeah, maybe. I don't think I'm going to bring the rooftop.
Oh, you're not?
No.
You're going to leave it?
Yeah. I took it. So
you're going to lay on the ground with the other peasants?
No, not at all.
Oh.
I'm going to do a hammock.
Oh, you're doing a hammock. Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
I used it when on one of the last trips we went on, you and I went out, and then this last weekend, Labor Day weekend, happy Labor Day, everybody, I moved it over to Charlotte, and now it's on Charlotte, and I don't really want to
move
it
back
over. Yeah.
You're going to have to get a second one.
Yeah.
So,
well, I did get a new roof system from Rough Stuff.
Oh, did you install that and have put the video out yet?
I did not install it yet.
Okay.
I was going to install it, and then I actually found a small error on their side of the brackets.
Okay.
And I went and spoke to Zach over there, and he was like, "This is a problem. We need to fix this." And the thing was I don't know exactly what happened, but I think they got two batches in, and one batch is good. One batch has a bend in the wrong spot.
Uh-oh.
And so they came back with the right parts.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, thanks for pointing this out. We're going to chuck all the other ones out, and we're going to need to get make sure that they're breaking it in the right spot and fixing these things. So I pointed out a problem, but, I didn't get to install the product.
Well, see, that's the cool thing about, partnering with companies, awesome companies, especially ones like Rough Stuff here, where if we get to put on stuff and try things out for them, kind of beta testing essentially, then it's great feedback for them because we found a problem. So
yeah,
they get to go and figure out, and turns out it was a couple of different bad batches.
Yeah.
But it's good, but it saves them the hassle. If they had sold that to a customer and somebody pays a bunch of money for that and find out that it doesn't work at all.
Right.
Yeah. So
I could have made it work, but the thing was, I want to shoot a video of it. So I want it to be correct.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And so I don't want to be like, this didn't work and I could figure out a way around it, but hopefully yours works. No, I didn't. So I went back to Rough Stuff and talked to them, and we figured out what was wrong, and they figured out what happened kind of on their end. And
nice.
They actually gave me the correct part back.
Mm-hmm.
So now I can install it.
Nice.
But that the system they gave me doesn't really work on Bobcat. So I can't just simply install two racks.
I see.
It will be nice to have two rack systems. So then all I have to do is move the tent, not the rack. That'll
be nice.
Yeah.
So cool. So if anybody else has any products out there that need testing or breaking, we are definitely accepting items.
Yeah.
So we'll give you your feedback and tell you guys how to make it better. So, yay. Anyways, so that's cool. Rough Stuff is being awesome. We mm-hmm. love living near those guys. So, really cool company to work with. So, yeah. We might be approaching them with another fun project here coming up, but we'll announce that on a later episode here. So, until then, we have a nice little backlog of people we need to give shout outs for, because I don't know if anybody noticed, we did not give any shout outs on the last four episodes because one of us decided to leave the state for a little while.
Tyler.
Okay, it's me.
Like, I'm not gonna. I didn't leave the state.
We recorded a bunch of episodes up late one night, which we got a lot of good feedback on them. Surprisingly,
yeah, we did.
I thought they were gonna be interesting episodes to listen to.
You know, what's funny is we get conflicting messages from people.
Uh huh.
You know, no matter what we do, you know, people are like, "We love it, you guys. Yeah. That was the worst one I ever listened to."
Yeah, you know, that's true.
And you know, so what we do on our end is we mm-hmm. just kind of take it as, well, did more people like it than didn't like it, or yeah. did more people dislike it than like it, and we yeah. just kind of ebb and flow and work our way to find yeah. what's best for you
and
guys.
You know what? If you don't like it, then just shut it off and listen to the next episode.
Yeah.
So cool. So we have a huge backlog, like we were saying. So our new patrons, mm-hmm. Thank you. Huge thanks. Shout outs goes to Christopher, Alexander, Nerd Going Outside, who that's the name he signed up with. So yeah. Nerd Going Outside. Thank you very much, sir. James J3. So you're now the J cubed. So we have Jimmy, we have J squared and J cubed now. We have Ryan, Reed, and Rob. So thank you guys. You guys all got signed up for the giveaway for August. So y'all made it in time for us to do the August giveaway, which we actually just posted on Instagram before recording this episode here. Mm-hmm. So look for it on Instagram. And the winner of the August giveaway is Mr. Trevor. So, Trevor, you are our winner of the Exploration Ready First Aid Kit, the Advanced First Aid Kit there. We sent you a message on Patreon, and Trevor, you're also not on the Facebook page. So, if you're listening this into your ear holes, we got to talk about the ear hole episode, the holy episode. And, Trevor, if you're listening to this into your ear holes, the dog.
The secretary's getting angry.
Secretary's getting angry back there in the background. So, Trevor, if you're listening to this into your ear holes, check out your Patreon messaging, wherever you
message
get
service.
Message service. Mm-hmm.
Through the app or the online.
Okay, through the app or online. And also, get on the Facebook page. So, everybody else, sorry, we've had a lot of people requesting to get on the Facebook page. You cannot get on there unless you signed up for the community tier on patreon.com.
Yep.
So we have it all blocked off, and we are double checking everybody that comes through there. So if you want to get on the community page, some interesting, fun conversations going on there. Mm-hmm. Some people breaking their track bars and seeing how they finagle stuff together to get off the trail was pretty interesting, a new one.
Yep. Also, somebody buying a 2017 Tacoma. So I'm excited mm-hmm. about that. He also sent me a direct message and saying, let's go out. Let's go have fun in it. I want to experience this new Tacoma life.
Is that the taco life?
Yeah.
Is he the one that his ultimate goal is to get on the Rubicon? And I was saying, oh, come on, just come on out. We'll take you out there. We'll get you on the Rubicon at least.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll get
two tires
off of it. Yeah.
we also want to do a big shout out to Mike. Mm-hmm. Thanks for signing up as well. You are on the gift box tier.
Mm-hmm.
You are the last one to get in, and I figured out a way to close the tier yeah. after that. So, everybody that's in that gift box tier, thank you so much for signing up, and we are dang close to finishing mm-hmm. those boxes.
Yep.
I ordered a special something, and I'll tell you off air about what I ordered.
Ooh, fun.
Just the other day. And we also, okay. I sent you a photo of 15-ish objects that we yes. received in the mail.
Yep.
So it's pretty awesome.
We're going to be setting up another 15-ish objects tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then we should have another
15-ish objects showing up here very shortly. So, yeah, those gift boxes turned out really fun. Like Jimmy said, we did find a way to lock it down. Mm-hmm. So, I think the way we're going to run it is we will be opening up that tier for 1 to 2 months in between the gift boxes. We have to figure out exactly the time frame after we get this gift box done and out to everybody's boxes, mail holes. So after we get those out, we'll kind of figure out what the timing is going to be like to open up the tier and let you guys know what the time frame will be. It'll be a window that you'll be able to sign up at, and then we'll close it back down. So, yeah. So that's thank you, Mike. You are on the gift box one. So a big announcement for September. I know we announced it on one of the previous episodes here. Is for Factor 55, our giveaway. So the September giveaway is for a $100 gift card to Factor 55. So you can use that towards whatever you like over there at Factor 55. They've got, you know, they're the industry leaders in closed system winching. They've got the thimbles, the flat links, which are pretty awesome. They've got, I believe they even have soft shackles now over there. So
definitely,
lots of different things you can spend that $100 on. So that'll be at the end of September. We will do that announcement and drawing on October 3rd, it looks like. October 3rd will be the episode that'll come out with the announcement of who wins the Factor 55 drawing. So
nice.
I think that's it that we're getting caught up on for now. We have a lot of feedback that we're going to get into that we received from the Holy episode, the Forerunner episode, and a bunch of other stuff. So we'll get into that in the next couple episodes here. But for this episode, we have some catch-up to do.
Yes.
We're kind of playing catch-up from a bunch of trips that Jimmy and I have been on and that were a lot of fun. So we have, gosh, so Jimmy went to Steaks and Stories.
Yep.
And at Steaks and Stories, he kind of went in Loon Lake and out Wentworth Springs.
I did. I finally hit Wentworth Springs side for the first time. I was going to say,
you've been on the
ever.
Rubicon a lot.
I have.
Never been through Wentworth Springs.
Yes.
So we'll get to hear about how that was for Jimmy. You went on a trip to Hellhole.
I did.
With our buddy Brennan.
Yep.
Who is a rock crawling aficionado now.
He's getting better.
Getting
that's
better?
For sure.
Okay. So we'll have an update and get to tell you guys some fun stories about how that went. And then we, Jimmy and I went, got to go on a trip with Power Tank, the awesome guys, Steve and Tyler, and a bunch of other invites on a trip to Slick Rock and Deer Valley.
Yeah.
So it was an overnight trip, but I did not stay overnight, and I'll tell you about how I got home.
And then I'll tell you about how I got home.
Yeah, exactly. So let's start off with Steaks and Stories, shall we?
That sounds great.
Okay. Tell me about, well, don't tell me. Tell our listeners, all everybody out there, about Steaks and Stories. I know a little bit about it, but I've never actually been to Steaks and Stories.
Okay.
So what is Steaks and Stories?
Steaks and Stories is a get-together out on the Rubicon.
Okay.
And my understanding of it, well, this was the third annual, and my understanding that they started this 3 years ago to try to get a bunch of the old-timers that run the Rubicon and a bunch of the new kids that run the Rubicon, get them together, talk to each other, get them to mingle, and have them pass stories back and forth about the Rubicon and things like that.
Oh,
so,
okay.
And really to try to get the old timers to try and tell the kids that they need to mellow out, is my understanding. And then there's steaks like that they serve. I think they had 200, they bring 250 steaks, and then they got another 100 of them donated, another 100 in addition donated at the like last minute. And so they had like over 300 steaks for, I know that for sure. And it's a first come, first serve. They start serving a little bit afternoon, and then they just hand out steaks until they're all gone.
Wow.
Yeah. And then they do a big raffle, and they do, you know, they do a lot of talks, and things of that nature. And
I mean, is it all free? I guess, except for the raffle, you'd probably have to buy tickets.
It's all free. Even I think you might have been able to buy tickets. I didn't buy tickets, but just even showing up, they give you one ticket for showing up.
Okay.
So, I did. They this year they were really pushing for cleaning the toilets and toilet maintenance and no white flowers, which is no toilet paper on the ground and things of that nature. And all the money that was getting raised there that year was going back. I think it was going to the RTF Foundation, the Rubicon Trail Foundation, and to do toilet maintenance on the trail.
Yeah, there was supposedly they're building a new pump truck, or they have a lot of repairs to do to the old one, something like that. So they actually have a pump truck that goes through and pumps all the sewage and waste out of all the toilets on the Rubicon.
Yeah, it's a Unimog.
It's a Unimog, yeah.
Yeah, and I tried to count them one time, and I couldn't do it because I just didn't know them all, but I know that there's two at the entrance. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's one until Ellis.
Yeah.
And then there's one at Lower Walker, one at Upper Walker. Mm-hmm. There's one at the top of Soup Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
There's two at Little Sluice.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's two at Buck Island. Oh, and there's one at Arnold's Rock.
Yep, Arnold's Rock. Yep.
There's two at Buck Island.
Okay.
And then I'm not familiar past that with that how many there are, but I'm up to 11.
There's a few. There's like 5 or 6 in Rubicon Springs, maybe more. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot in Rubicon Springs.
Yeah, so there, I mean, there were probably looking around 20 toilets out on the trail.
Yeah.
That have to get pumped.
Yep.
You know, because
someone's
got to
clean them and get them out of there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And so a lot of that was going to, you know, having somebody pay to somebody to drive and do it and fix the truck and things of that nature. And the Rock Zombies, I think it was, they do a rig wash event.
Yep, their car wash event. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's you bring your rig out, you pay, they wash it and clean it. And then they donated all of that money to the RTF for this event. Yeah, and so it was a good chunk of change.
It was something like $10,000 got donated to RTF for the Unimog, the toilet pumper, and from the Rock Zombies car wash event. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and then there's a lot of people out there. I mean, there was a lot of people out there.
Really?
It was on Tim Green's property, on the private property.
Okay.
Right at the spillway for the most part.
Okay.
And there was, geez, I'll try not to exaggerate. There was at minimum 50 rigs, if not, no, there's had to have been more, maybe 75 rigs.
Uh-huh.
There was a lot. And
just filling, and were they all parked down in the spillway area or?
No, we were on Tim Green's property.
Oh, okay.
He opened the gate.
Nice.
And let a bunch of people through, and it was maybe 100 yards down.
Yeah.
Kind of toward, like, it kind of goes down into a little valley.
Mm-hmm.
And it was down there, but we didn't get down to the bottom.
Okay.
And there was a bunch of tents. There was an amazing s'more cookie thing. They made like 250 s'more cookies and they were awesome. The lady made an amazing looking cake.
Uh-huh.
Also, there was people cutting
what kind
up
of cake
water.
Was it?
I'm not sure. I didn't dig into it.
Was there any ice cream?
No.
Oh,
no ice cream.
Missed opportunities.
The Life Flight people were out there.
Mm-hmm.
There was a sticker booth and they were handing out a bunch of stickers and I didn't think of it until I left. I was like, I should have put my stickers on the table.
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't I put my stickers on the table? And then they had the raffle area and there was a bunch of other tents up and there was a lot of people, like all of WFO was out there. I saw Trevor. There was a lot of the Rock Zombies, a bunch of pirate people were out there. Tons and tons of rigs.
Nice.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun seeing people. I saw some good friends out there.
Did you see any like kind of memorable rigs? Any ones that kind of stood out as being just a really neat build and why it was pretty cool?
There was a few rigs. There was a really nice FJ45.
Okay.
It was super clean.
What color was it? Was it blue?
It was tan.
Oh, okay. Not the one I'm thinking of.
There was some really nice 4Runners, like third gens.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of like buggies, like all kinds of craziness. There was a Gladiator out there.
Okay.
There's a lot of JLs, JKs. There was, I don't know, there was all kinds. I recognized a bunch of them from Instagram, you know, and there was like the, like the, what is it, the early 80s style truck that has the yellow, orange, and red up the side of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then there was the guy that has
the
white cap.
I think that guy's from Santa Rosa.
Maybe. There's a guy that has a white cap, white top, and there's a one that has the same pattern but has a red top. And they were both around. So
I think the white top, isn't that the 707 Crawlers
guy? I'm not sure.
I know he was up on the Rubicon recently and thought it was during Stakes and Stories, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of really cool rigs out there. I kind of just walked around and filmed a bunch of it. And yeah, there was, I mean, everybody's built. That was pretty easy to get to, but everybody was pretty built to get out there. Yeah. So.
Yeah, because you don't have to be built to get out there to Stakes and Stories. Like a lot of the Rubicon events, like Stakes and Stories Cantina, which got canceled this year, a couple others. A lot of them happen at the spillway there, at the Loon Lake Spillway. So you don't need to have a built rig to go and do the Rubicon to get there and do it. I've showed up and driven down there in my RAV4 before, and it works just fine. It gets down there.
Yeah. So there was a bunch of people that were parked at the spillway and just walked.
Just walked down.
Yeah, just walked into it.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, I mean, maybe a half a mile, you know, at most.
Yep.
Maybe a quarter mile. Yeah, but yeah, I was driving in and I was like, trailer, all like
trailers.
I looked up at the early parking lot
at the chalet
and it was full, and there was every like turn off that you could do on that on the Wentworth Springs road. Is it Wentworth Springs there? Yeah, no, it's Ice House Road.
There.
All of them were like had two or three trailers in them.
Oh geez,
the spillway had a bunch of trailers on them, and there was, I mean, I don't know if they all came out for that or if there's people out there also driving down the Rubicon. But as soon as I left Stakes and Stories after kind of the raffle was over and things were kind of winding down, I went out on the Rubicon and there's nobody out there.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if I left at the perfect time. Like I was kicking it with these other guys that had these totally tube buggies and were, you know, and they were going ahead and doing some of the hard lines up, you know, through Gatekeeper and like driving over massive rocks that, you know, are the size of Bobcat, you know. And, we all went up whatever. We went through Gatekeeper fine, and then we all went up that whatever that drive line hill is right there after Gatekeeper, before you hit the slabs. And, you know, and then we went out, and then I was planning on going to the slabs because I had the GF with me, and she's never been out there. And so I was like, well, we'll go to the Granite Bowl. We'll go to the Granite Bowl, and we'll just see it and see how it is. And then I was like, there's nobody out here. Like, I'm going to go farther.
Just keep going,
And so I was like, you know what? I've never been on Wentworth Springs.
Nice.
I'll go try it.
Yeah.
And so we drove all the way out there to near Ellis Creek and turned off down the Wentworth Springs.
Did the buggies go with you down Wentworth?
No, they kept going down towards Ellis. And then so I turned off and went down Wentworth Springs, and going down the trail, right there at the top, there's a pretty good little ledge.
A little ledge?
It's a good ledge.
It's a good ledge. There's a big tree on the right hand side of you on the passenger side as you go down the ledge.
Yeah.
That's a fun ledge. The first time I went in, it almost ended forwards.
Yeah, I started to go down, and it kept going and going and going, and I didn't really hit the bottom, and I kind of like, I didn't have the doors on, so I looked out and I didn't see anything, and I was like, hey, look out the passenger side and see if you see how far am I from the bottom. And she was like, you've still got like a foot to go.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, I'm going to readjust. So I readjusted and I put myself more driver to kind of hit the slope. And when I went down in the rear, it sent the bigger section of that hole is
on the passenger
side when you're going down. My truck leaned against the rock and cracked my tail light.
Oh, that's where you did it. Okay. Yeah, there's every time I go down that, there's a bunch of tree roots from that tree on the right hand side that gives you a nice little ramp down, so you can go down that. You just have to still take it slow, because if you go fast, then you just kind of end over sideways over the
front
driver. And that's
to the left of the tree area.
So there's a tree in the middle of the trail, and there's a big ledge to the left of the tree, and there's a nice little just easy little granite face that goes down the right side. That's the easy way.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And so, but just on the left side of the tree, right, you know, you only have 4, 5, 6 inches mm-hmm. of leeway to catch those tree roots okay. on your passenger side tires. And if you miss it, you go in the hole.
Right.
So that's,
that's yeah. what I did.
Yeah. So the and first time I went down it, I went in the hole and I almost flipped over forwards. And then coming right. back up it, I was like, oh, there's tree roots right there. You can just go right up. So yeah. after now that I know those are there, I know where to find them and aim right. for them at.
Yeah, so came down when the suspension, it was really like when the suspension compressed,
mm-hmm.
it like leaned over, hit mm-hmm. the tail, my driver's side rear tail light, mm-hmm. and cracked the lens.
Is that because your shocks are a nice 12-inch bump stop?
maybe, yeah. I got like half an inch of bump stop on there. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I did buy new shocks before the mm-hmm. power tank run, and I happened to buy the same exact shocks I have.
Oh, well, okay.
I thought I had 12s, and I was like, I need 10s. And I went got 10s the 10s, and I pulled the shocks off, and I was like, oh, these are the same ones I have. I was just totally mistaken.
So do you have some 10-inch shocks for sale now?
No, I returned them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So anyway, so I went mm-hmm. down, continued down it, and I've never been there. So mm-hmm. when you start heading down the mm-hmm. main section, there's all kinds of like turnoffs.
There's a bunch of turnoffs, all of the
bypasses
way, yeah.
and stuff. And uh-huh. I just was like, well, I'm going to go the hard way.
Yeah.
Because I know that's the trail.
Yep. And so did you find the big boulder pile?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they call that, was told they call that post pile.
Oh, yes, because the post pile is just right up to the right side of it. Mm-hmm. So if you look up, I mean, as you're at the bottom of that section going up it, the post pile is up to your right. If you're okay. going down the trail, the post pile is back to your left as you hit that section there.
Yeah. And so that place is nasty.
It's gnarly. The first time I did that, I went through that section on my own and uh-huh. I didn't go through there. I was looking at it and I kind of hiked it down a little bit and I was like, this would be a lot of fun, but not by myself. I don't even have a passenger to help me run a winch line or anything.
Yeah.
So I took the bypass around the passenger side right there. But
right.
yeah.
yeah, we I had her hop out
mm-hmm.
and film. like film me going down this.
Yes.
And it was
so
pretty
we're
going
to have to change her name from GF to photographer.
Yeah.
The videographer.
Videographer. the assistant.
Yeah.
The assistant. I don't know if she'd like that. but yeah, so I got down through the like few little drops to the one or two boulders. And then mm-hmm. it was really like one of the last boulders.
Mm-hmm.
It had a super sharp drop off.
Oh, really?
And I didn't realize it was that super sharp. And uh-huh. so I came down really hard on my rock slider and gave it a good dent.
Nice.
But then from there out, it's easy.
Yeah.
Easy peasy on the way out.
And yep.
Yeah, we got down to the bottom, started talking to some guys, and I was like, I've never done this route. Like, where do I go here now where I'm mm-hmm. at Wentworth Campgrounds?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, do I just keep going? How do I? And they're like, yeah, go keep going straight or left, mm-hmm. and you'll get out.
Yeah.
But the road from there.
From Wentworth Springs
from
Campground.
Wentworth Springs Campground to the paved roads, horrific. Yeah. It's horrible.
That's an awesome road. What are you talking about?
No. I would that like post pile is fun, but mm-hmm. I don't think driving in that route is worth that road.
That's why everybody comes in Loon Lake.
Yeah.
yeah.
It is. I mean, you're going across like fist size to small basketball, small soccer balls, sharp rocks.
Yeah. The entire
way.
It's like 3 miles, something like that. Yeah. I don't know if it's 3 miles, but it's.
It felt like 90 miles.
Yeah. No, I've gone in there before completely aired up. And yeah. about halfway through, I was, I can't take this. My back was, it's terrible. Uh-huh. Fully aired up.
Yeah.
If you go through there, like 2 to 3 PSI, it's perfect. It's just fine.
yeah. I was somewhere around 10.
Oh, yeah. That'd be,
it was
awful.
Bad. It was really, it wasn't comfortable at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, when it was funny, when we got down to the Wentworth Springs campground
mm-hmm.
and I pulled over because I was traveling with this guy and he cut off the trail in an area I've never seen anybody kind of cut off the trail.
Okay.
And I stopped and I was like, where'd you go? Like, what'd you do?
Yeah.
You know, and because he ended up at the campground and I never saw him. like he turned off the trail and I never saw him again.
Okay.
And then we came down to the campground and he was there. I'm mm-hmm. like, and he was like, yeah, you can do this other route. And I'm like, is that through private property? Where does that line go? Who, like, what line is that? You know,
yeah.
like, and he was like, no, it's totally cool. Like, you can do it. And I'm like, whatever, dude. Okay.
There's a few different routes. Like you said, through the Wentworth Springs route, there's a bunch of bypasses and side chutes and everything. And One of the more popular ones that's kind of like an optional route goes up just nothing but granite ledges and faces kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's right around near where my club's section of the Adopt a Trail section of the Wentworth Springs is, where we have all the silt traps.
Okay.
So if you go up the granite faces there where all the silt traps are, that's another optional route that you can do that I've never done before, because I'm like, I know I see a lot of people go up that way, but I don't know if it's actually part of the designated route.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's what he came down.
So when you're driving from Loon, mm-hmm. you go through Gatekeeper, you mm-hmm. go into the Granite Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You go through the Granite Bowl up at the top, and then you do that really steep granite climb.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of after, there's a little boulder pile after that, mm-hmm. right? And then there's a bigger boulder pile after that. And then you kind of come to these flat granite slabs.
Yes.
He turned out left out there.
Interesting.
Off of the trail and shot out. And I'm like,
I don't.
At first, he was like, he just stopped uh-huh. and let us all go.
Yeah.
Because that's when I was with the buggies.
Uh-huh.
And then I looked back and I didn't see him.
Hmm.
And I was like, huh, wonder where he went. And then when we ended up at Wentworth Springs,
He was there.
And I was like, hey, and I started talking to him. And I'm like, I don't know where that is.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say was, the GF started talking to this guy,
mm-hmm.
And I had a Toyota Truggy.
Okay.
And the guy was 6'6",
mm-hmm.
280, super muscular,
uh-huh.
tat sleeves,
uh-huh.
you know, like he was a decent looking dude.
He was right? a fine specimen.
He was a fine specimen.
Okay.
No homo. And when we were driving out, I was like, mm-hmm. so what were you talking to that guy about? And she was like, we were talking about the differences between White Claw and Truly's. And which mango wow. we liked better.
Wow, that's like, funny.
With that guy? Like, what?
Yeah. Wow, okay.
All these, like, seltzer water drinks, yeah. you know? I'm like, no wonder that guy is, like, ripped because he doesn't have any, never intakes beer calories.
He doesn't have any
calories.
Vices, yeah. yeah. Oh man.
So that was pretty funny.
Nice. So you came out, Wentworth Springs, had a good time on the good old 14N09 road.
Yeah.
So that's the road when I went camping with the secretary.
Yeah.
And we found that lady that was like, where's right. another camping place? And I was like, well, you can go up to Wentworth Springs Road. And I turned and she had 5 lugs on her Toyota axles.
Uh-huh.
I was like, never mind, you can't go there. That's that road. Why? Uh-huh. That's the road. Why?
She would have made it. She just wouldn't have been happy.
No, she would have been like, yeah, she would have
yeah.
killed somebody. We would have had a homicide alert that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. That was Stakes and Stories and your first time through Wentworth Springs.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
So fun little section.
I probably
section.
Won't ever go that way again.
Oh.
Glad I did it.
I'm glad you have such a high recommendation for everybody.
As soon as you start getting onto the dirt and if you air down a significant amount.
Yes.
It won't be that bad.
Yeah.
But I would never like take a trailer out to Wentworth Springs campground.
I wouldn't either.
I really dislike going from Observation Point out to Tahoe area.
Yeah.
And this is all, like, this is probably worse.
In my opinion, this is way worse than that. Like, the observation out to the Tahoma side.
Yeah.
It's not too bad. There's a couple little sections where you kind of have to slow down, but for the most part, it's just long.
It's long, but you've got to watch out for, like, a basketball-sized rock in the middle. And yeah. there And or big divots.
That's true.
Right? You know, and with my soft suspension, I like, mm-hmm. you know, start sliding like a boat, funny directions. And and so you can't speed too fast, which mm-hmm. you shouldn't be really speeding on that road anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But this other one, I was going like 5 miles an hour because it was just yeah. a horror, like rattling my truck apart.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Did you finally lose your taillight after cracking it from going down that road?
No, it's still there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. still in funny. There today.
Nice.
Yep.
So cool. So that was Stakes and Stories in Wentworth mm-hmm. Springs.
Yep.
First time on Wentworth Springs. So if you guys decide to go out to Stakes and Stories, it's a really good time. Awesome
yes.
steaks.
Yeah.
They were really good?
They were really good. They cooked them well. It was crazy to see them like turn 250 steaks.
Yeah.
Right, because I mean, they have this system like they put them on one end, and then they like flipped them 2 or 3 times, and by the time they got to the other end of the barbecue, which was like 6 or 8 feet long barbecue.
Oh, really?
They were done. They were done.
They put them in a
plate. And they handed them off. And the guy that was doing it, like, would poke them with one of those skewers or a big fork looking thing, and he would be able to tell, like,
yeah,
he would go, you want a well or medium, or what do you want? And then just threw them at people, you know.
Chucking them at people as they're walking by. Here's a steak for you. You get a steak. You get a steak.
Yeah, as soon as they said, stand up, get in line, you know, you had like 400 people in line.
Nice.
It was crazy.
Nice. But, yeah. What about the Wentworth Springs campground? Would you actually go in and stay there?
Well, I wouldn't, because I wouldn't drive that road again.
Okay. That was going to be my question. Like, if you could get past that road and do a weekend on the Rubicon and kind of treat Wentworth Springs as like a hub.
Yeah.
And then go wheeling each day.
The campground was nice. And there's bathrooms there. Mm-hmm. And the grounds are nice. There's trees around it. There's a little creek kind of in the background, which could be mosquito-y. Could be nice, you know, to have some water nearby.
Bring your mosquito spray.
Yeah, rinse off a little
bit.
Or
your buddy Samurai that smokes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
James, we're looking at you. I really like that campground, the Wentworth Springs campground. So it's a great place to stay if you can kind of make a hub out of it, in my opinion.
Yeah. It would be a good spot to, like, if you're going to go wheel into Little Sluice one day and spend two nights out there.
Yeah.
You know, you could go to that campground and then it would be an easy stretch to get to Little Sluice and back.
Yeah.
And
nice.
So, yeah.
So, cool. So, that's Steak Stories in Wentworth Springs. The next story, because the following weekend, right?
No, following day.
The following day. Oh, okay. So, that same weekend, the following day, you went out to Hellhole.
I did.
With our good buddy Brennan from Trail4Runner.com. He runs Trail4R.com, Trail4Runner.com. We just call it Trail4R because that's what his logo is on everything.
I think he has that website as well. You typed in Trail4Runner, number4runner.com, it would redirect you to Trail4R.com.
So it's a really, really nice 5th Gen 4Runner website. So if you have a 5th Gen 4Runner, there's lots of anything you can do, anything and everything you can do to 5th Gen. So mods, accessories, lifts, tires, suspension, shocks.
He even has some like EDC stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, everyday carry items. He has a bunch of Molly bags and what he carries in those bags and stuff like that. He's got his website's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
That's, I would like to start something in that direction for the Tacomas, modeled after that and learning from him. But, if you have a 4Runner.
Well, we were going to do a Trail R4 website for the RAV4.
Trail R4 for the RAV4. Yeah. Did we ever buy that? We should buy that.
I pointed it out to him and told him I was going to buy it as like an April Fool's joke and make something just to completely copy his website for an April Fool's joke. But so you went out with him at Hellhole. Now, Brennan's a fun guy. He has a really nice trail edition, right?
Yeah, it's a 2014 trail edition 4Runner. It's on like a 3.5-inch lift in the front, icons, and 3 inches in the rear, or 4 in the front, 3 in the rear, something like that. He's on 34s. He has done a little bit of cutting on the bumper in the front. He has rock sliders, a full skid plates, and a stock rear bumper. He's got a bunch of other bells and whistles on the truck as well.
a lot of other bells and whistles.
Yeah, but the main points is like, he's got around a 3 to 4 inch lift and 34-inch tires.
And he has lockers in the rear.
He has a rear e-locker,
And then an A-track for the front.
Yep.
Correct? Mm-hmm. So he has traction, a nice traction control with that A-track. I was pretty impressed with it watching it on the FJ Cruiser that we had on our trip with Power Tank. But so the A-track is on the front, e-locker in the rear, 34s, 3 to 4 inch lift. So that's kind of the gist of what his rig is, his main rig, full skids, full protection from rocks kind of thing. So so you guys went up to Hellhole.
Yep.
How was the trip there? Because 11 Pines Road, that's open now, correct? They got all the repairs done earlier this year.
Is that the one to Hellhole? I'm not sure.
If you go through Forest Hill.
I didn't go through Forest Hill.
Oh, how'd you guys get there?
We met Brennan and Jackson. Oh. No, sorry. Georgetown.
I was like,
in Georgetown. And we went up towards like the Rubicon on Wentworth Springs Road.
Okay.
And then we turned off that direction.
Okay. So you guys went a different direction there.
Yeah, we entered coming from the south. We went up towards Hellhole.
Okay. That makes sense. Because I think there's a road there called like Rubicon Creek or Rubicon Road, or it's Rubicon something that joins into 11 Pines. So anyways, 11 Pines was shut down for like 2 years because there was a couple massive mudslides and they never went and repaired it until I think beginning of this year.
Oh, wow.
And then with this year's winter, they had another mudslide, which damaged the repairs. So they had to go back in and fix it.
Bummer.
So Hellhole's been closed for a while, but now it was open this year. It opened up pretty early because it's lower elevation. It's only about 5,500 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Fun little trail. I thought that he would breeze through it without too many issues whatsoever.
And
I
that was not the case.
That was not the case.
No. Before we jump into the trail, one thing that I thought was fun was I was trying to find a simplex channel that was free and people weren't using it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I keyed up a channel and I had somebody on the other end.
Oh, really?
Answer. You know, and I just said, hey, this is Jimmy KJ1MMY. I'm just checking if the channel's clear. You know, and then somebody was like, hey, you're coming in loud and clear. I hear you. You know, and I was like, oh, cool. Well, where are you at? You know, and he's like, I'm at Observation Point.
On Hellhole?
No, on Rubicon.
On the Rubicon?
Uh-huh.
No shit.
Yeah.
And you were on your little handheld?
No, I was on the big truck. In the radio in the truck.
In Bobcat. Okay.
Yeah.
So, wow. Was he on a handheld or was he on a big one?
He didn't answer, but I'm assuming he was on a higher wattage version.
That's got to be a 50 watt. So, from Observation Point
I Google mapped it. In a straight line, it's 9 miles.
Oh, that's not bad. Straight for line of sight, 9 miles. Yeah, 50 watts will do that no problem. But there's... Mm-hmm. There's mountains and ridges in the way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And was it how was the signal? Was it coming
loud and clear? It was perfect.
Wow.
Yeah. We talked for a little bit, and I said, okay, cool. I'm going to change channels.
That's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
That's also really cool to know that you can hit Observation Point from Hellhole. So in the emergency. So yeah.
Yeah. And that was simplex. That was just I didn't handle a repeater or anything.
Interesting. So that's actually really good to know. So if you have any issues on Hellhole, you can hop onto the Rubicon's simplex channel and hit somebody at Observation Point. And any given weekend, you should be able to hit people. So just hang out and keep trying every few minutes until you hit somebody. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. Okay, sorry, nerding out.
Yeah. No, I thought you would appreciate that. So
nice. So glad to hear your radio's working great too.
Oh, it is. It is. Except I left it on one night, so...
Oh, did you kill your battery, or...?
No, it didn't kill it, but I just woke up, and I saw the bars moving and stuff, and I was like, oh, I need to remember to turn those off.
Eh, whatever.
Yeah.
What I like to do is I set mine to crossband repeat at night to the local repeater, and then I'll carry around a handheld with me around camp all night.
Oh, yeah.
Set to the crossband repeat frequency.
Sure.
So that I can, wherever I'm going, I have communications to the repeater at all times. So
yeah. And I get to camp and I'm there with all my friends and I turn everything off.
Yeah. So cool. How was the trail itself? Like, brief over, because have you done Hellhole before?
Never done Hellhole.
Okay.
Yeah. This has been the last 2 weeks have been an eventful 2 weeks. I've done four trails in an essence that I've never done.
You haven't done any of these?
I haven't done any of those either.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. That was my first time hitting Wentworth Springs, first time hitting Hellhole, first time hitting Slick Rock, first time hitting Deer Valley.
Look at you go.
I know.
That's funny because I'm like all about new trails. I love going doing and hitting up the new trails. And
yeah,
I usually go to Rubicon and Fordyce over and over and over.
Yeah, and that's what all my friends keep wanting to do. And they're we don't want to drive 3 hours to go down to Slick Rock. I'd rather drive an hour and a half and hit the Rubicon. It's one of the best trails around. Why would I go anywhere else? Blah, 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 blah.
Okay, there is logic to that.
Well, you've never gone and done another trail and you don't know how the other trails are. You know, it's like I'm for it. I want to go explore and I want to go try new trails.
Cool.
But,
so,
yeah, so
you haven't
back to
done
Hellhole.
Hellhole before.
Never.
How was it first?
It was fun.
Yeah.
I liked it. We got about halfway. I think we'll just say that.
Okay.
So we got about halfway down the trail.
Mm-hmm.
The first 100 yards are totally easy. It's on a little kind of fire road with some bigger rocks to a really nice overlook of the Hellhole Reservoir.
It's a beautiful picture moment at the top of the ridge.
Telephone poles going straight down in front of your view, unfortunately, but if you can get over that, you know, the power lines in the way. You can, it is a gorgeous view down to El Ol Reservoir.
There's a couple of really other good, great places that as you're driving down, it's just a super narrow trail.
It is.
As you're going down, and you can stop and climb up to kind of the top end of where you're at before the turns and get some pictures, great pictures of your rig with the reservoir in the background just before the turns as you're heading down there.
Yeah, and so, and I did, I mean, it is a super narrow trail. And, I mean, it's big enough for your rig to go down without getting too much pinstriping, but I was like, if somebody's coming up...
It's a while to pass.
One of us is going to have to back up a long ways. And so, we went on and we just came to a few rocks, nothing major, and we walked up it pretty easily, and then we came to one spot, and... I was like, okay, secretary, or my secretary, my my assistant.
That's what it is.
Okay, assistant, hop out and start taking a video of me going up this this ledge or these rocks. And I, when I went up, I should have held a little bit more driver than I did. And my rear axle came down on a rock and sort of stopped me. And so I had to reverse passenger, drive forward, driver, and drive around it, right? And so when I went and I went and spoke to Brennan and I was like, so did you see what I did? And he was like, yeah, I got it. And I was like, okay. And he went similar to what I did, but he turned passenger way early.
Okay.
And he just plowed into this rock with his front diff cover.
The whole diff cover and
the
everything.
The whole front skid plate.
Yeah.
And was sitting on top of it. Like his tires almost weren't touching the ground. And so... I was like, okay, fine. And so we tried to push him backwards and he went back a little bit, but then I was like, okay, see if you can go forward. And he just hammered it, just like skinny pedal and just got himself in a bad situation.
Yeah.
And so right then what we had to do is we had to, we were able to actually use max tracks.
Okay.
And some rocks and kind of get an angle and... pull the max tracks got pulled under the tire and then wedged between the rock that we sat in there and it lifted them up and over the rock.
Oh, wow.
And it got them out.
And they actually worked?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
It did leave a lot of rubber on the max tracks, but yeah, it did work. And so, he was like, okay, I know now why you guys tell me not to do the skinny pedal. Like, when I start to get stuck, I shouldn't get myself even more in trouble. Like, I should figure out another way around. And I said, okay, good. Like, I'm glad we got that through.
Yeah,
like,
it's a good learning. Good learning experience here.
Right? And so, after that, we start part of the descent down into Hellhole. And... there was a few times in there when we were, I would just drop off a little rock and the whole truck would kind of like lean way more than I ever expected it to.
Really?
And the hole was deeper than I expected it.
Okay.
You know, and like you're on this, like you're on a cliff side almost.
Yeah.
Right? You're on a super steep hill with this trail cut out on it where you look down. I didn't realize it until we were driving out, but I was like looking down the mountain. I'm like, if I went down that, like...
it'd be a while before you
I would roll like 20 times if, unless that tree stopped me that was right there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was pretty crazy. And so, there was one spot that was kind of fun that I went up it. I went down. I was going down and then my rear tire started climbing. I'm like, what the heck? And I stop and I like get out and I look and I climbed like this root of a tree root.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Right on the edge. And it's a funny looking photo, but it was very dark, so it didn't look good, but it was kind of funny. And so Brennan was going down the hill and he was falling into the same hole as I was, but I have 37 inch tires and he has 34s.
Yeah.
And so,
and you have a lot more belly clearance too.
And I have a lot more belly clearance and I have front and rear lockers. Right. And so if I get into a problem in the front, it'll usually be able to pull me out pretty easily. But the big thing was the belly height and the, you know, the height of the tires. And so he would like roll down into a hill and then get stuck on his belly. Right. And then I would be like, can you back up? And at one point, most of the time he could back up, but at one time he just couldn't, back up and he couldn't go forward. And we tried to shove rocks and stuff underneath and nothing worked. And I was like, okay, let's get the strap out.
Yeah.
And I just had to tug him a little bit. Right.
Yeah.
And then we got on. So we kept going a little ways down that trail. And then all of a sudden, it just like huge drop off ledges, big rocks in the way, like seriously, like the size of like a dishwasher or something. And like one of them was smack dab in the middle of the trail where like I could drive. Like on with Bobcat, I could go high driver side, put my tire on the big washing machine boulder, clear the rock, and still miss it on my rock slider.
Okay,
but Brent, there was no way. Like if Brennan were to try that that route, he would like come down hard on his rock slider.
Okay,
and just try to spin off of it one way or another. And then we walked a little farther down, and there was some more drop offs. But the thing was, I looked on the map; we weren't even at the ledges.
Oh, really? Uh-huh. Did you get past the creek section, the rock garden?
I don't know. I don't remember a creek section.
Interesting, because you were using my map, right?
I mapped it on the way back, and then I just went and looked at the map that they have provided.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we only really got like 2 miles in.
Well, that whole trail is only like four and a half, something far. Like that. It's not far. But there is a section right in about halfway through, maybe a little bit further than halfway, called the rock garden or the creek section.
Yeah.
It's because there's a creek that comes down right at the top of it, and you kind of have to make this turn through. It's a little trickle. It's not even a creek.
Okay. Then that's probably exactly where we were.
Okay. So you had to make this big turn, and there's a big tree on the right side.
We're going down the hill, and you had to make a passenger turn around the tree. That's exactly where we were.
And then there's a couple ledges, pretty big ledges right after that. So, okay. Yeah. That's the rock garden or creek section there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's exactly where we were.
Yeah. So that's the section I thought that if anywhere, that's where he's going to have issues. The ledges are not that bad. The quote unquote ledge section of the trail.
Right.
If you have a rear locker, you should be able to get up that. And if not, you just winch right up it there. But there's nothing to really like get you stuck in a hole or get you high centered on.
Right.
But that rock section, the rock garden section, it's tough.
It's
a tough little spot. So.
Yeah. No, it was pretty gnarly down there.
Mm-hmm.
And there were decent sized drop offs. And the thing was that, that Forerunner doesn't have the ground clearance. Yeah. Or the approach or departure angles that.
And I always forget about the approach and departure angles.
And he's got bumpers. Like, I mean, my truck is like almost all the way up to the grill in front of my tires is completely open.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got these bumpers that come down really far. So he doesn't have a good approach angle for his tire to get onto things like that. And to his credit, though, I mean, he was looking at it and he was seriously trying to think about like, okay, can I do this? Is he trying to pump himself up? You know, and we stopped and we ate lunch and my assistant and I had a time restriction on the trail. And we were right about there.
Does she listen to the podcast?
I hope not.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to hear about it if she does. So I'll find out one way or another. And so it was a good opportunity for us to turn around, a good time overall, because we had to get back into town at a specific time.
Yeah. You guys had a pretty early, you had to be back pretty early too for doing a day trip out to Hellhole. So.
Yeah. And so. So we turned around at that point, which I went down and I did it and just to kind of, I was like, do you want me to do it and show you what it looks like?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, yeah, I want to see your truck do it. You know, I've never really seen it do anything like that. And so I went down and I did it and turned around and came back up and he was like, dude, your truck can flex.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, it does pretty good.
Yep.
And so on the way out, he had one issue. Where he had an issue going down when he was coming up. And then I had him on this time he could reverse because he's now reversing downhill instead of reversing uphill.
Yeah.
Right. And so I was like, okay, just go a little bit more passenger and try to, you know, scoot that side. And then he did that. And then to his credit, because you have like when you wheel, right? When you're starting wheeling, I think we talked about this before. When you're starting to wheel, the vision of what's happening in front of your vehicle is really narrow.
Yes.
Right? And you're only worried about what's happening in the next 10 feet, 10 to 15 feet.
Sure. Yeah.
Right? And then when you get more experience, you're like, okay, I don't need to worry about the next 10 feet. I need to worry about what's coming at me because I already know what I'm going to be doing for those next 10 feet. Mm-hmm. And so to his credit, he was stopping getting out of his, like, opening his door, standing up on his, like, the floor of his truck mm-hmm. and looking in front of him for a good distance.
Oh, nice.
And then contemplating what he needs to do in his head, and then driving out. And we didn't have another problem with his rig the whole way out, even the place where he got way stuck, high centered, and we had to use the Max Traxxes to get him out. He walked down, like, he stopped and I stopped and we talked about it. And I was like, and we talked about like three or four options. And then I was like, you know what? I bet if you go high passenger and just hold high passenger. And then when you get to hit this rock with your driver's side, and once you hit that rock, you turn hard driver, you could walk through this no problem. And he's like, I think you're right. And so, and then he did that and it was perfect.
Nice.
You know, and I think it started boosting his confidence a lot.
That's so cool to see people go through that transformation, see the light bulb start to click with different things. So yeah, the samurai that I alluded to earlier, the smoky samurai, he's never really done rock crawling before he got this samurai. And his very first trip ever in the samurai, I took him and did an in and out to Buck Island.
Right.
And so the whole time he was, you know, feathering the clutch and messing around with the clutch. He'd go down a drop or a ledge and hold the clutch in and ride the brake. And I was like, dude, just let your engine do the work.
Yeah.
Keep your left foot on the floorboard the whole time. And so on the way out, he started figuring that out, and you could see the light bulb go off. He goes, oh my God, I get it. The engine controls you doing this descent. I don't even need the brakes. I was like, exactly.
Yeah. I remember one time when I was out with Brennan a year or so ago, and I was like, we're going in somewhere, you know, and I'm in like my 4.7 low gear, right? Just making it easy with the gearing. And he's like hitting it with his skinny pedal going up. I'm like, dude, are you even in the low gear? And he's like, no, I'm in normal four wheel drive. I'm like, go down to the low gear. And, and like he did, and he was like, oh, wow. Like,
that's amazing.
That's so much. That really helps out. You know, you got more control. You don't have to hit it. You don't, you know, and you just, after you start doing these things, you really start getting a better understanding of what the rig's capable of, what you can do, you know, and it was fun sitting there and talking about lines with him, right? Because it was like, you know, we were both talking about, okay, now if you hit this, where's your rear tire going to end up, right?
You have to think about all that. And
that was one of the things I told my assistant, is one of the hardest things about wheeling is knowing where your rear tire is going to hit.
Yeah.
Right? Like in like a parking lot, you realize like I've got to drive around this, you know, beam.
A wide turn,
you know, so that my rear end clears it. But when you're out wheeling, you've got to think like, if I need to clear this rock, where do I have to be?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's, that's a whole different level. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it was fun. So then, we just, after that, we had no problems. We drove all the way back. I let the assistant drive a little ways, and I had her drive up reverse up this like big rock. And you just saw like smiles and happiness in her eyes. Like, oh my gosh, should I just drive up that? You know? And I was like, it's go easy on the way down, you know? And it was funny because I said, keep going back, you know? And then she came down and she hit the rock slider, and I yelled at her. I'm like, you hit my rock slider. Like, keep going back. You're scratching my rock slider. You know, like, keep going back. You know? She's just laughing the whole time. And then I was like, okay, come forward. And even when you have hydraulic steering or hydraulic assist, if you hit a rock a little not square on,
it'll still pull you.
It still wants to pull you. Absolutely. And I was like, okay, you've got, like, go forward. And the whole steering rack went passenger. And I'm like, reverse, like, straighten your tires out, go at it. You're going to have to hold the wheel driver so you don't, you know, the whole steering doesn't turn funny. You don't want to climb the rock at a funky angle with your steering. That's bad.
Or it'll slide you over sideways. You end up with your axle in the rock instead of the tire.
And so that was what she had a hard time with, was holding the tire in the position it needed to be.
You're going to have to go full hydro then.
I guess so. So, yeah, after that, we wheeled out, aired up, drove home. And it was a good weekend. Good weekend of wheeling. Went to Steaks and Stories, did Wentworth Springs and Hellhole.
That's a good weekend.
Part of Hellhole. Yeah,
that's a good weekend. I'm jealous. I didn't get to do that. I didn't get to do any of it. Oh, man. All right, everybody. So I hope you guys had fun listening to all all the stories from Jimmy's Wheeling weekend here. So we're going to continue on since we had a backlog of trips that we've been on, and Jimmy's been doing a lot, and I did a little bit here and there. We're going to continue on with the power tank trip in the next episode. So watch for that to come into your ear holes tomorrow morning. We're going to do a special release bonus for you guys tomorrow morning, Friday morning. So watch for that to come in, and hope you guys enjoyed what Jimmy did on this weekend with the stakes and stories and his trip to Hellhole with Trail Forerunner. So, yeah, we'll see you guys tomorrow morning. Have a good one. And remember, keep crawling.